I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like to step back in time for a moment, sharing with you in a very personal manner some recollections of a Pope of the 20th century, one almost always spoken of in the media as the wartime Pope. He's Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli, who was elected to the See of Peter in 1939 and who died on October the 10th, 1958, almost 50 years ago. Stay tuned, as in a few moments I'll be sharing with you the personal witness of some of those who knew him.
Happy birthday, Your Holiness. Our names are Richard and Gillian Ousley. We'll be very pleased to wish a happy birthday in our traditional English way. Happy birthday to you.
On March the 2nd, 1956, children from all over the world gathered in the Vatican to wish Pius XII a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
The United States of America have sent you wishes for your happy birthday, and may you blow out many more candles in the future.
A wish that was unlikely to come true. The Pope had just turned 80, and he'd already miraculously survived at least one severe illness.
When, in 1954, he was very, very ill with that, infection of the glands. He had those fits.
Father John Charleroux, a personal friend of Pius XII.
He was very, very, very ill. And the dean of the College of Cardinals, who was Cardinal Tisserand in those times, another Eugene, I told him one evening that it was time to ask for the last sacraments. It seems it was in his functions to warn the Pope, to inform the Pope of his opinion on that side. So the Pope had promised that the following day he would call in, I can't remember, the great penitentiary, the person appropriate for that kind of office. And then the following day passed, and the Cardinal Eugène Tisserand noticed that nothing had happened. So that the following time he saw the Pope, he reproached him. He said, but you promised and you didn't do it. Tisserand told me the story himself. And the Pope replied rather shyly, well, I had promised to you and I was ready to keep my promise. But, you know, during the night, somebody came and told me that wasn't the case yet, and that I had still 4 years to bear the crown of thorns. He used to call the mitre the chair of the crown of thorns. And he died 4 years later. But the Sister Pasquarina noted in that night that at that same moment she was woken up by an extraordinary light that had appeared in her window in the Vatican.
Pius XII did live another 4 years, and on October the 9th, 1958, Vatican Radio broadcast this announcement.
This is the Vatican Radio, broadcasting in English. With heart heavy with sorrow, we give the following announcement. His Holiness Pope Pius XII is dead. He quietly expired at 3:51 a.m. Pius XII, the man most highly esteemed and venerated in the world in this century.
When the Pope died, his great nephew, also called Eugenio Pacelli, was a little boy.
And I remember especially when he died in 1958, because he died in Castel Gandolfo. It was the end of the summer period. And his coffin was brought by car to Piazza San Giovanni in Laterano.
Yes.
And that's where the cortege was formed. It was a cortege which lasted about one hour and a half. And the streets in Rome were crowded with people from all classes.
The exceptional silence that falls on Rome on those occasions, and that near the Tiber, I think near when they reached near Castel Sant'Angelo, through that silence, there was one feminine voice that rose. When she showed, I couldn't spot where it came from. And it was one woman who cried out, "Come questo Papa non ci sarà mai." And it had the impression of the voice of Providence.
There will never be another pope like this one. The cry of that woman may have given voice to the silent grief of the Roman people mourning their beloved pontiff. But the Romans were not the only ones to grieve Pius XII. American Cardinal William Wakefield Baum had met Pius XII as a young seminarian and recalled the lasting effect this encounter had on him.
So Pope Pius XII, this great figure who had made such an impression upon all of us, with great kindness and gentleness spoke to each one of us. We were then seminarians, but he knew we were future priests. So he took the time to say a few words of encouragement to each of the seminarians there present and to give each one his special blessing. That was for me a very beautiful moment, and it had a permanent effect upon my life to encounter this great pontiff and to receive those words of kindness and encouragement. That's a personal memory I have that's very precious to me. Pius XII was a man who shaped us. I've often thought of his great encyclicals, which were the prelude to the Second Vatican Council.
What about the more human side to him? Because he comes across as an austere figure, doesn't he, physically?
Well, he had a very impressive bearing. He was a great presence. I think all of us who ever were in his presence were very much affected by that. But he also had great gentleness in his personal dealings. I know that from my own brief experience, but I know that from many of those who worked with the Holy Father during those years. He was the soul of kindness and gentleness. He had that regal, majestic appearance, but truly a most gentle pastor in his personal relationships.
Pius XII was absolutely it for us.
Sister Kathleen England came to Rome as a children's governess and later entered the Ursuline religious order.
In my congregation, the idea was, years ago, that everything descended from the top and you just had to sit at the bottom and receive it. And the Pope Pius XII was the great man. Huh? And he had a presence and a look in his eye which I thought absolutely marvellous, and it was.
Well, I came to Rome for a short visit in 1948 and had an audience, and he was carried in the sedia gestatoria.
Sir John Leslie was a young aristocrat who'd converted to Catholicism and was visiting Rome for the first time.
And it was very interesting, really, because I got fairly near the front, and I suppose there were about 3,000 people or so in the great hall of the Benedictines. And as he went out, he kind of waved and talked to a few people in the front. And quite definitely, he looked up, and our eyes met like that. And I remember these piercing black eyes, and undoubtedly, it seemed to say, "Oh, well, and there you are," as it were.
He seemed to look through you to the end of your destiny. He had an extraordinary way of looking you straight in the eyes, and you had the impression that your whole life was seen by him from its beginning to its end. That's it.
Father Charles Leroux was frequently in the company of Pius XII and witnessed what he described as a tangible spiritual hold the Pope exercised over people, Catholics and non-Catholics alike.
And he spoke with him sometime. As soon as he began speaking, there was an extraordinary atmosphere that entered that room. And when he gave his personal blessing to that little Asiatic priest, all the others, one a good Anglican, the others, I suppose, Lucian, everybody fell on their knees. And it was very much, the vicar of Christ and a martyr. It had already been, I suppose that's the impression that people had. It was, he could, his presence transposed everything on a higher level. Can know free people who were converted on sight and not candid little ninnies.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that feature focusing in a very personal manner on the figure of Pope Pius XII. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.